Good to see each and every one of you. Let's get started right with the word this morning. I'm taking my text from Romans chapter 4. This is concerning the faith that Abraham possessed. And if we could just back up to a few weeks ago, although we would have to look ahead of this particular passage, but looking back to a few weeks ago, I spoke to you about how that Abraham had such incredible faith that he took his only son that was the promised son that God had told him. And remember, he took him to the point of worship when he took him up to the mountain with the purpose of obeying God, because obedience is worship. Can you say amen? He took him with a heart of worship and a heart of obedience, and he honored the Lord by taking his only son that he had and was willing to sacrifice him on the mountain before the Lord. And that God stayed his hand at the moment that he was going to sacrifice him and said, don't touch your child, don't harm your child, for God has been a provider, Jehovah Jireh. And there was a ram that was over in the thickets, and they went and gathered the lamb. And anybody glad that God always provides? Amen. Always provides. It may seem like it's at the last moment, the very last minute, but God always shows up and he always makes a way. Well, this is before that, and this scripture says in Romans 4 and 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith. Everybody say, he was strong in faith. Giving glory to God. So I want to ask the question, what is faith? Over the last few weeks, we've really looked at what it means to be spiritual, and we've come to the conclusion that it is God's plan, it is his will for every single one of us, that we are fruitful. Look at your neighbor, say, be fruitful. It's God's plan and God's will that you and I produce fruit. I made a statement Wednesday night in our Bible study. I said that whatever your lifestyle reflects, or whatever your lifestyle is, reflects who you really are. How many would agree with that? Whatever you're living, because the truth of the matter is, however you believe will govern how you live. Whatever is the foundation of your belief system, that's why I say, and I want you to get this, if you will believe right, you will live right. Can you say amen? Amen. Because whatever your faith is, whatever you truly believe, that will govern how you live. Now, we know that faith is what really touches the heart of God. It's not our love. Because God loved you before you were lovable. He loved you. The Bible says he demonstrated his love to you while you were still in your sin. God's love has not changed. He loved you before and after. He loved you during. Whatever you've ever done, God loved you in the middle of it. And that no matter, there's nothing, no performance, nothing you could ever do that would ever cause God to love you more. I used to think that God might love me a little more if I could just do a little better. But I've come to the revelation, the knowledge, the truth that God loved me no matter what, and will always love me no matter what. In fact, his love never changes. And as a matter of fact, he loves you just like he loves me, and there's nobody he loves any less. Praise the Lord. That's a wonderful thing. So the reality is, if we're going to touch the hand of God, in other words, if you're going to touch the promise of God, the provision of God, the power of God, you will touch him with your faith. It won't be with your performance. God is only caught by your faith, how you believe. All right, so let's take a look for a moment. Someone once used the acronym of what faith is. Forsaking all, I take him. In other words, God is my priority. Whatever God expects, that's who I want to be. Whatever God has done, that's what I'm going to become. It's all about him, not about me. This is our faith verse. Hebrews 11:1 states, now faith is the substance of things that we hope for and evidence not by what we see. Can you say amen? Faith has nothing to do with what you see. Faith is believing for what you cannot yet see. Faith is calling what you don't yet see tangible in your life, believing the manifestation is going to take place no matter what. Webster New World Dictionary says this concerning faith. It is the full confidence in God's word. Now, let's take for a moment and think about faith. We know that Jesus Christ died 2,000 years ago. If you and I are people of faith, even though we did not witness what was done, even though we never saw it with our eyes, we believe it as though we were there witnessing it the day that Christ gave his life. How many understand that? We did not see the tangible of what he did, but we believe it just like we were an eyewitness reporter that Jesus Christ did exactly what the Word of God says. That's full confidence in the Word of God, believing without question that what he said he did. Faith accepts God's word, his promises, and his warnings. Can I get an amen? as fact and acts accordingly. Since there are many evidence as to the word that the word of God is true, this is not a blind leap of faith. It is rather an intelligent, holy reaction to the wondrous words of God. In other words, what we've done is we believe the word of God is so true, so authentic, so absolutely correct, that in essence we are doing not what we would consider a blind leap, but we just accept it, even though we know men wrote the book as moved upon by the Holy Spirit, that they wrote it without any error at all. If you believe that, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. We believe that wholeheartedly. So it's not a leap of faith, it is an acknowledgement of a fact that we've accepted as truth. A fact that we've accepted as truth. 2 Corinthians 5 and 7, I'm reading from the Amplified, said, "For we walk by faith." This is the part the Amplified puts in. "We regulate our lives and conduct ourselves by our conviction or belief respecting man's relationship to God and divine things with trust and holy fervor. Thus we walk." And this is the part, this original scripture, "not by sight or appearance." What he's saying is exactly what I talked about, having a relationship, or whatever your life style is a reflection of your relationship with Jesus Christ, of who you are. In other words, because of what I believe so fervently, without question, my life lines up to that. How I really believe governs how I really live. You can say you have faith, and that's what James says. You can say you have faith all day long, but faith without works is dead, being alone. In other words, what James is saying, it is a representation of what we're talking about this morning. If you say you have faith, then there will be a tangible evidence to what you believe that everybody can see. It's what Jesus said in Matthew 5. Let your faith shine. Let your light shine so that men will see your good works, because it will have a representation of that. Absolutely. Romans 8:28. This is a scripture that probably has upset more believers than any other in the Bible, I believe. Because when you're going through it, people always want to encourage you with this, and yet people get upset over it. Because if you're not going through it and somebody else is, it makes you upset when somebody tells you, "All things work together for good." Come on, be honest. Somebody says, "Oh, we know that all things work together for good." Yeah, right. You're not facing the storm that I'm in. We as believers always say we are sure to know that God, being a partner in their labor, all things work together and are fitting into a plan for good to and for those who love God and are called according to His design or His purpose. That's fine if you're not in the middle of it. But it takes faith to believe your way through it. If you're going through a season, let me tell you, I just want to encourage you with this, and although you may not think it's an encouragement, if you've not been through a season that makes you have to hold on to God, you will be. You're either coming out of that season or going into that season, but there's going to be times in your life when you will absolutely have to trust God to be God. And you will have to hold on to Him with every bit of faith you have, knowing that the storm may be rough, but God is still a God that speaks peace to the storm. You're going to have to hold on and hold on and hold on when everything else around you is sinking and wants you just to throw in the towel. But you've got to say, "I'm never giving up. I'm never giving up. I'm never giving up. I'm going to hold on to the end." That's what Paul was writing about. That somehow, some way, that God knows all things and that He's got a plan. And somehow I fit into the plan of God. And although I may not see it all, God still has a plan for me. So when we talk about faith, we often put faith and knowledge in the same category. And that would be a mistake, because we understand that God saves and God loves. And everyone here might even be able to quote John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." And you may sit here and you may say, "I know that Jesus did come. I know He was born of a virgin. I know He died. I know He rose again." And you might know all of those things. But I want you to understand something. Satan can quote the scripture. Remember that when Jesus was taken into the wilderness, that Satan met Him there. And he quoted the word of God to the Son of God. He quoted the Word of God because he knows the Word of God. But until what you know becomes faith, until it changes how you believe, you can have a head knowledge of God and not know God at all. Faith moves you to act now upon what you know. It takes what you know here and moves it here. Everybody understand that? It takes it now to the core of your being, not the head, the brain center, but the heart center, where what I now believe has become who I am. It changes not just having a knowledge about God, but a knowledge of who he is. Not just talking about an author of a book, but now you see him as the book. You recognize the God that you serve and that you love, and you know that you know that you know here that God did everything he said he was. You begin to believe it. It becomes your value system, your faith-based system. Your faith must connect you to God's power, God's provision, God's protection, and God's promises. It's your faith that connects you to the hand of God. It's your faith that connects you to the face of God. It's your faith. It is what moves God. It's what touches God. It's your faith. It's your belief system. It says, I believe everything that God said, period. All right, so now let's go back to Romans 4. This is where we've taken the text of what was mentioned about Abraham. Verse 17 says, as it was written, I've made you a father of many nations in the presence of him, God, whom he believed. God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. For years I misquoted this because I didn't catch it. I often thought when I would try to grow and believe that my faith was growing, I thought that this scripture referred to Abraham's faith, that Abraham called those things that were not as though they were. But the Bible says God who gives life to those things that are dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. It's God's faith that you and I want to arrive at. You understand that? In fact, the Bible says he is the author and the finisher of our faith. Verse 18, who contrary to hope, in hope believed. Now, let's take a moment and think about that. Who contrary, have you ever been to a place in your walk with the Lord that it seemed like all hope was gone? I mean, if you just got a report from the doctor that was a devastating report, it can snap your hope right out of you. So to hope beyond your hope takes something deeper than your initial hope. See, everybody can say, I've got hope. Everybody can say, I've got this going on, I've got that going on, I'm believing, I got money in the bank, I got everything going on, until the stock market drops 300 points and you had money in the stock market. Right? Or until you know you've got to make your mortgage or rent payment and you keep looking at your account hoping it will somehow just mysteriously appear in there. But you've got to pay your rent or mortgage payment by tomorrow and it's the end of the day today. Yeah. And so your hope is exhausted, but yet you're still hoping. When the storm is still raging and it would almost seem like everything has been torn apart by the storm, but you're still hanging on to whatever you're holding on to, hoping that God still comes through. That's what he's talking about there. Hoping when all hope no longer exists. In other words, believing when everybody else around you, like Job's comforters, would say, why don't you just curse God and die? Because whoever you're believing for is not coming through for you, so why don't you just give up like everybody else has given up? When you would say, no, I don't care what happens. Job said, I know that my Redeemer is still living. And though I have not seen him yet, I know that I'm going to see him. Even after skin worms have eaten my flesh, I personally am going to see my Redeemer. And with mine eyes and not another. You see, there was a time when Pat and I, when our boys were little, they've never known what it was to not be in a Christian home because their entire life was raised in church. But there was a day in their personal life that they had to make a decision of what mom and dad believed had to be what they believed for themselves. They couldn't hang on to our shirt tails and try to hang on and say, well, I'm a believer because my mom and dad are a believer. No, one day, ladies and gentlemen, they had to come to a place where they decided that what they believed was real. They had to stand for God for their own lives. And I marvel today as I watch them developing every single day into the men of God they are. I marvel at that. But they had to come to that place where it now wasn't about what mom and dad believe or what the church believes. What do you believe? Do you have faith? Will you hope beyond? So that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And I love this, not being weak in faith. You know, one of the writers said, Lord, I do believe, but could you help my unbelief? Have you ever been there? I'm trying to believe, God. I really am. I'm mustering all the faith I can possibly muster. I'm trying to believe harder than I've ever believed. How do you do that? How do you believe any harder? Because you're trying to stir up something that you don't yet feel in your manifestation. You don't yet feel it as tangible, but you're trying to believe. You're trying to hang on with everything you've got. I love this. He did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old. I was kidding with George Webb, and some of you know him, most of you don't, but he's been with us for a long time in our church since way before we came here. I've known George for probably 30-some years, and George is over 90 years old. He's 91. I said, George, what would you do? God told you today, you're going to have another child. George's eyes kind of got big. He said, I don't want another child. I thought, well, I'm in my 50s, looking toward my 60s, and I'm thinking, what would I do if God told me that? I told my wife, if she ever told me she was pregnant now, I'd say, God, I know you're calling me to the missionary field. Where am I going, God? He said that he was not weak in faith. Here he was 100 years old. Can you imagine Sarah at 90 years old hearing from the Lord that she's going to give birth to a child? And come on, we understand that the Bible says that she was past childbearing years. You understand that she no longer had that normal monthly visit that reminded her of the ability to be able to give birth to a child. That was long gone. In fact, the name Isaac, her son, means laughter. Wouldn't you laugh? You're 90 years old, your husband's 100, and God says, I'm going to give you a child of your age. And she broke out in hysteria. She began to laugh out loud, and she named her son Laughter. Sometimes God's promised you things that he spoke to you in the dark hours of your life, and you wondered, God, will that ever come to pass? And there have been people that have given up on dreams and visions, things that God had spoken into them, promises of their children getting saved, promises of being able to buy their homes, and promises of businesses. And I believe in this congregation there are still books that have not yet been written, because there are people here that are going to write books. And I believe there are songs that have not yet been sung or wrote yet, because there are things that God is still pouring out in people. But you got to believe when nothing else makes sense. That's faith. How many times we've given up and said, God, where are you? Where are you? How are you ever going to do this? Do you not see the time clock is ticking away? My life doesn't seem like these things are happening. And there will be naysayers in your life. Does anybody know what I'm talking about there? We call them Job's comforters. That will say, your God has failed you. Your God is never going to come through to you. The prophet Isaiah said, whose report are you going to believe? I choose to believe the report of the Lord. I don't care what the doctor says. I don't care what the enemy tells you. I don't care how the circumstance looks or how bad the storm gets. I know who holds the answer to every problem, every situation, every circumstance. I'm talking about having faith. Talking about believing God. Talking about believing God. He was 100 years old in the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver. The King James translation we read at the beginning was stagger at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened or strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced. Is anybody here fully convinced? Yes. That what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Here's really in reality of what he was saying. With God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. I want to encourage you. I want to challenge you to hold on. Faith is not what you see, it's what you do not see. You may say, well, I've been praying about situations, and those things that I'm praying about are getting even worse, and I don't even know if I should pray about them. Well, welcome to the world of faith believing. Because there are many times you'll pray for situations. You may pray for your children that are still out of ARCA's safety. They've not given their life to God. And you may be looking at their life and it may be looking like things are getting worse. Faith will prompt you to hold on and believe that God's still going to do a work in their life. Faith will cause you to believe beyond what you see, because that's not what faith is. Faith is not what you can look at. It's what you can see in believing. In other words, what you're believing for God to do is the finished product of what you're praying for. And faith makes you hang on to that. Daniel, make your way if you would. Faith sees the finished work of God. Faith sees Romans 8:28. For we know that all things work together for the good. All things. Somehow, in the plan of God, God's got this. And regardless of what I see, it may look hopeless. It may look aimless. But I'm still going to hang on. Do I have anybody here that's still going to hang on? Can I tell you, you need to hide that white towel. You need to hide that white rag that you thought about throwing in. Hide it to where you can't find it. And hang on as hard as you can. I'm encouraging you to believe God. I'm encouraging you to hold on to what God has. God's still got a plan for your life. I've read Jeremiah 29 over my life so many times. Long before I saw myself in positions that I'm in today. Where the Lord spoke and said, I know the plan I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans that are good with an expected end beyond your imagination. I've read that scripture. You see, even as God has placed us here at PBFC, and He's speaking things into me of what He still intends to do. God is telling me the changes He still needs to make in me. He's producing faith in me to believe beyond what we see and what we know. You want to have fruit in your life? Let your faith reach out. Take hold like the woman that pressed through the crowd. Said, if I can just touch Him, everything's going to be okay. How many know with me today, God is saying the same word to you and I. If you'll just touch me, everything's going to be okay. Stand with me this morning. Give Him a hand clap of praise. Sing to us. We are so blessed to be called your children, to be called your people. You've blessed us beyond our worth. You blessed us when we had no faith. You recognized us. Truly, God, You're a way maker. You made a way for us, Lord, where there was no way. You brought us in. You captivated our hearts. You settled Your love in us. You provided Your mercy and Your grace. Maybe you're here in the congregation. You've come today. You thought you would just come to another church service. But you feel a prompting to make a decision for Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you today and tell you that you did not come by chance. It's not a coincidence that God actually established a plan to bring you to His house, to bring you to this message. And what God wants from you today is a decision. Jesus spoke in the book of Revelation chapter 3, and He said in that passage, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone will hear My voice and open the door, and upon that invitation, I will come in. You see, my friend, the decision of inviting Christ into your life is yours. He will not break the door down. He will continue to knock, but it'll be your decision of whether or not you will open the door. Whether or not you want to give access of your life to Christ. Whether or not you want to make room in your life for Jesus. The decision, my friend, is yours. Choose wisely, for today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to lift up Jesus Christ in your life as your Lord and as your Savior. The Bible says that without faith it is impossible to please God. For we must all first believe that He is, and that He is the one that will that He will reward those who will diligently with effort seek after Him. Make room for God. You that are believers, you need to make some decisions of where your walk is going. Make some decisions of the things that you're doing. Are they a lifestyle choice that is producing the fruit that represents your faith? Every time we come to God's house, we're prompted by the Holy Spirit to choose, to decide. Am I going to let God use my life? Am I going to let God have access to who I really am? Am I going to give access to every area? Will I open up every private area of my life and say, God, come into that area of my life? Will my priorities be correct? Will I make a decision today that this will just not be another church service, but I really am going to surrender everything to God? That I'm really going to say, God, I don't want one hidden thing. I want to give everything to You. Father, today as we stand here, recipients of Your goodness, we've manifested, God, in our life, Your love and Your mercy. It's what You meant when You spoke to us in Matthew 5 to let our light shine. Let us be a reflection, for we are Your ambassadors. We represent You to a world that desperately needs it, that needs to know You as their Savior, that needs to have You filling up their life in every area of their life. Today, if you want to make a decision for Christ, our congregation is getting ready to repeat a prayer with me. If you would like to make a decision for Christ, maybe you'd like to rededicate your heart to Christ, why don't you do this in this prayer? You say, well, it's only repeating words. Well, don't just make them just words from your mouth. Make them genuine from your heart. Mean what you say. Say what you mean. Let them be fresh from your heart as you repeat with us. Congregation, pray with me. Heavenly Father, what a good day it's been to be in Your house. Today, I make a decision to give Jesus Christ all of my life, everything that I am, and everything that I have. I dedicate, I release to the service of the Lord. All my life, I surrender. From this day forward, Lord Jesus, I'm Yours. Do with me as You please. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Father, bless every single home, every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl. Touch every life. Draw out of us the work that You've put into us. In the name of Jesus Christ. Give God a hand clap of praise. Amen. If you would like special prayer this morning, I'd love to pray with you. Please come down. I'd be glad.